as you pick that topic, I was charged. I say, God is looking for more Gideons. You are the one that is qualified for God to depend on in the restoration ministry. Sing this song for me. May the Lord depend on you. In the warfare that is raging for the right. It's a battle that is going on now. God is looking for more Gideons. Gideons, Gideons. Listen to that song. To deliver Israel from the Midianites, they needed a Gideon who was sighing at the abomination that was going on. God is looking for them now, this age. Of darkness fighting to destroy the truth, destroy the church of Jesus, gates of hell, fighting. God is looking for Gideon. Everybody, may the Lord depend on me.
May the Lord depend on me.
Depend on me.
Loyalty.
His part is due.
His part is due.
Say, oh Spirit.
Say, oh Spirit.
God is looking for people you will depend on. In this age, we are seducing spirits have seduced us away from the truth. We are The church is flooded with carnal leaders, politicians, money mongers. We are mammon worshippers, disguising, Babalawo, disguising, motivational speakers, disguising as preachers of righteousness. Somebody who does not know how Jesus looks like, how can he teach you to be like Jesus? That is the condition of the church. People who don't understand grace, who are not even beneficiaries of grace, how can they teach you grace? When they don't know what happened on the cross on Calvary. That is the problem. And so, the whole place is corrupted. When you are doing the right thing, even your church member will attack you. Why are you doing that? You owe too much. And they think they are saying the right thing because they listen to one motivational speaker in Abuja. They are all in Abuja. They are comparing what they are hearing there and thinking that that is how Christianity is. I borrow a text Pastor Olumide preached some few years back. He preached it in Ghana. And I told him, I said, when you come back to Nigeria, when we went to Ghana for ministers' conference, I said, you must preach that message that we need to hear it. And he titled it, Are You Mad? Now, it's an acronym, M-A-D. He picked the text, and I'm also picking that same text now. Don't they preach? In Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude, verse 21 and verse 22.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Listen very well.
Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion.
Doing what?
Making a difference.
M-A-D, making a difference. Are you making a difference? Then Olumide say, are you mad? He put it so that when you see that title, you must listen to what he wants to say. May we all be mad in Jesus' name. Sit down. I hope you heard him. It's Pastor Olumide that said it too. He asked you, so you are the one that will answer. And bear with me. If you see me talk, I know feel flow. Now tire. I never, since after vigil, I never rest till now. I even had vigil again last night. I stood talking for how long?
Over 3 hours
last night. Eh? So when you see me, if I want to say Sokoto, I say Kano, just understand that this old man don't tire. And before we worship the Lord and give God praise, I don't want to break the flow of what our brother Uzo was teaching, because without him knowing, he's ignited me to an exhortation I want to give that I titled Daring to Make a Difference. Daring to be different. Daring to be different. If you want to make a difference, then you will have to, in this present age that we are in, you will have to really be bold over it. And yet, we must be different. But you cannot be different now without being bold enough to be different. And that is why I want to encourage somebody to dare to be different. And the definition of being there is having enough courage or boldness to do something risky or challenging someone to perform a dangerous or embarrassing action. To dare is to defy someone or show bravery in the face of fear. To be there is a proof of bravery, a proof of courage, a proof of courage. And I remember the story one of our brothers, a preacher in this entire message, told me some years back. He said, in those days, he's 60-something years old, so he's talking about the early 70s when he was in the university. He said he got admission to go to a university, specifically University of Benin. And here he was born again before going, and they keep telling him, once you enter the university, all your born again will stop because of all the dirty lifestyle in those universities. And that is the truth. When you have your child following you to church every day, he may be following you to just please you. The evidence that child has imbibed anything will be a proof when he now has freedom from you and is now in a university, not a secondary school, but in school. That's one of the things that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do in our children. Many of us are obeying us now because they are living with you. They pay their school fees. You are shopping, they give you food. They have, immediately they have small freedom, they land university. Say, hooray! And go. But here he is. His name is our brother Amma. Some of you know him. He said that while he was thinking, how will he maintain his testimony as a Christian, the way they are scaring about the type of life in a university. And he said, God let him, he got a book. The title of the book is, I Dare to be Different. He said, he picked that book, and that book came very handy, and he read it. He said, that prepared him to go to that university already with a mindset. I am coming here, but I will be different. And not only that, he said, when he got there, he said, every day, it was an assignment. He said, 5 a.m., he got megaphone. He will stand with his megaphone and face the hostels. Repent, the Lord will soon come. Repent, and so before you know what, they all knew him and they called him pastor. He used it. It would take courage to do what he did. So call to people kept away from him. Women will not come to him to shake, because as should they come, he's facing you with megaphone. And that is how he became different and finished his school and maintained his testimony of a believer. He dared to be different. And as Christians, to dare to be different is to dare the effect of practicing true Christianity. In this age, you have to dare to be different. You have to dare to be different. That is, dare the consequence. If you are going to be a true Christian now, the consequence is too much. For you to still practice true Christianity now, you will need some special courage. You will have to dare to practice true Christianity. Why? Jesus Christ put it in Luke chapter 14. This way from verse 25. Please, let's read up to 9 verses there.
And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother.
Can you see? And hate not his father.
And mother, uh-huh. And wife, uh-huh. And children, uh-huh. And brethren, uh-huh. And sisters.
When he say hate them, that is an estate where you are ready to be cut off from them. For what you stand. That's what it means.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and his own life also.
Even your own life, it will mean you dying for it. For what you stand for.
He cannot be my disciple.
Unless you are in that estate, you cannot be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me.
Because there is a cross everyone will bear.
Cannot be my disciple.
Yes.
For which of you intending to build a
tower? Now listen very well. You want to serve God, Abi? Hear the admonishment of the Lord Jesus Christ.
For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. Whether he have sufficient.
I am a Christian. Wait. True Christianity is not as easy as they are presenting it. Oh. Right. Before you follow Jesus Christ, there are consequences. Oh. There are consequences. Oh. Wait first, before you make up your mind. And say, I will be a good soldier, I'll die at my post. Stand up for Jesus. I have decided not turning back. Hey, that one a song, oh, anybody can sing it. Even your parrot in the house, if you teach her very well, can be singing it every day for you. It does not define your decision. Your decision is not in the mouth, it's in the heart. Go ahead.
Less aptly, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying,
some of them are very shameless. You start to finish, you don't feel complete. Everybody will be yabbing you now. Go ahead.
Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Uh-huh.
Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000.
Okay.
Or else, why the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
You can't. Go on.
Salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salt seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dung hill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
So before you say you want to follow Christ, we give you the complete picture. We are not those that will deceive you. Oh, when you come to Christ, all your problems are solved. Now lie. Oh, when you come to Christ, you won't die again. In fact, that one is a lie, sir. Anybody says so, everybody will die one day. Well, if you come to Christ, you will not be poor again. It's a lie. Oh, if you come to come to Christ, you will not be sick again. It's a lie. He said, if you come to Christ, you will not suffer again. If you are suffering, check your life. Check your life. It's a lie. Before you say, I'm bride, I'm married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. He will not leave you alone. I'm married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. You never see men where they chase married women. Some men don't like single girls. I mean, man, whenever marry you, who will they find? Because Satan has no wife. Satan is a single demon. Only Jesus has a wife. Is the wife of Jesus here? Thank you. Clap for him. Clap for him. Amen. Satan will never leave you alone, no. That is why we keep emphasizing that Genesis 3:15 in this church is the most popular scripture here. The battle between Christ and Antichrist is still on. And it will stop only after Jesus himself, Christ, finishes him, cut off his head, throw him and put him for the lake of fire. Until then, he will continue to follow us. Am I scaring you? No, I am telling you the truth. Because in Luke chapter 9, see what verse 57 says. From verse 57.
And it came to pass that listen as very went well. In the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever
anywhere you go, I will follow, I will follow you. I will, under any condition, I will follow you. Jesus turned and looked at him. What did Jesus say?
And Jesus said unto him, okay. Foxes have holes, mm-hmm. and birds of the air have nests. Uh-huh. But the Son of Man hath nowhere
to live. He has nowhere. You want to follow me? You want to follow me? You go follow the car wahala where I go. One woman brought his two children, sons of Zebedee. And say, Jesus, please, in your kingdom, I want my pikin, one to be on your right, another to be on your left. He look him. Hey, you think that this is not politics? It's not politics, so. Hey, listen, oh, woman. It is not me that will place the person in the left or right, but my father. These your children here, can they drink from the cup that I will drink? If they can drink, then no problem. Don't worry. If you drink, then you will sit with me in my kingdom. If you can suffer what is ahead of me, that I never go cross. I'm sure after they saw him on the cross, the woman will ask again, oh yeah, let your pikin go, follow, die like that. Whether she go see, say, make you go. The next verse 59, what did he say?
And he said unto another, follow me.
Told another one again, follow me.
But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.
Okay, condition.
Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Uh-huh. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you.
See the different groups of people, where they follow Jesus, where they say, I will follow. Uh-huh.
But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
No man. You have made a decision to follow him. Then you are there dragging. Shall I continue? Shall I go back? Shall I continue? Shall I go back? He said, you are not fit for the kingdom. The only reason why you'll be dilly-dallying is because of what you suddenly find out. When I was an unbeliever, everything was going on smooth. Some of you begin to attack, attribute it to the church you worship. It is this bride. Since I came to this bride, all the favor I used to have stopped. Since I came to this bride, everything stopped. Since I do this one, I'll never be like that. Nobody, they remember me again. Maybe it's because I know they wear earring, I know they wear trousers again. Me, I don't understand this thing. Me, I don't understand this thing. Philippians 1:29 made it very, very clear.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of
Christ. When he says it is given, that is God has ordained it. It is ordained by God himself.
Not only to believe on him.
You are not only to believe on him.
But also to suffer for his sake.
You are also to suffer for his sake. You are also to suffer for his sake. If he's going to reward you. He will not just get, you will not get your reward. You will earn that reward. So the disciples asked him in Matthew 19 and verse 27, 28, 29. Hear that discussion.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them,
They are forsaken all. That is, they were rejected by their parents. They refused to be going to temple and follow the Sanhedrin council. They are now following this man of Nazareth. They have left the Catholic. They have left denomination. They are now going to bride. They have all forsaken me because of my faith. Come, oh Jesus, do I have a reward? Come, all these people will suffer like this. What is the end of it? It's normal to ask that question. What did he say?
And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you,
yes,
that ye which have followed me in the regeneration.
That is the age of regeneration is in the millennium. Yes, 1,000 years of Christ.
When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life.
Oh, glory be to God. That is the assurance that was given by Christ to the disciples. And they didn't commit sin. Ask him, come, all this suffer, what will they suffer? What's our reward? Remember what Christ said in verse 21 of Revelation chapter 3? Revelation chapter 3, verse 21.
To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Oh. Read it again.
To him that overcometh.
Overcome what? So you understand what we're talking today. Overcome all the temptations, all the trials that Christians went through. You still stayed there. You dared to be different. While others were compromising, you refused to compromise. There is a reward. There is a reward. In the millennium, when he will sit on his throne, judging you too. You know, he was very specific. Read it again. Where
to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
And remember that throne that you see is what you see in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 20. The thrones that John saw.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them.
See the various groups there.
And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for
they
the witness
were
of Jesus.
Beheaded. See what? See the people that were given authority. One group that was beheaded
for the witness of Jesus. And for the word of God.
Some again were beheaded for the word of God.
And we shall not worship the beast.
And those who refused to bow to the Antichrist system refused to take the mark.
Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ a thousand years.
In Revelation chapter 7, see them there. If you read it from verse 9.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number.
Listen very well.
Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Listen very well.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are
arrayed? Who are these people that are dressed in so many multitude like that in these white robes? And when did they come from? Where they come from? Who are they?
And I said unto him, Sir, verse 14, thou knowest.
Angel said, Do you know them? He said, Now you be angel.
And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation.
Great tribulation. And not the tribulation that will come after the rapture. This is in all the ages. The people that suffered, the people that were killed, maimed for the word of God, for the testimony, witness of Jesus, those who were killed, and we know how they were martyred. You see how the disciples died under the second horse rider, the red horse rider of Revelation chapter 6, where they were killing and killing and killing and killing Christians, calling them heretics. Killed millions of them. But they refused to bow. They refused to bow. The more they killed, the more the people were believing. Read on. See their estate.
And I've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God.
That, see their position.
And serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on his throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore.
Oh, glory be to God. I love that. Verse 16, say what?
They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore.
They will not hunger again. That means, when they say no more, that means they were suffering hunger while they were here. They will not thirst anymore. Because whatever they will desire, now they have it.
Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe.
He said, in the city where the Lamb is the light, the city where there cometh no night, have a mansion over there, and went free from toil again. I am going where the Lamb is alive. That's where we are going. That's where we are going, you know. He remains our comforter. Hallelujah. So anybody that tells you that you will not suffer because you are in Christ, Apostle Paul told the Hebrew, he said they are cloud of witnesses. And see where they went through. How the women offered themselves. They were feeding them to lions. Bring a pregnant woman. Tear her alive. Bring out the child. Torment them. But they did not give up their confession. They held unto him. Held unto Christ. They dared to remain Christians. Do you think it's everyone that had the gospel that continued like that with them? No, some turned back. Some returned. Some turned back. Those who dared the consequences of the faith, they dared the consequence. No matter what, it included Apostle Paul. You see what he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. These are the witnesses we have. This gospel did not start from us. So we inherited it from somewhere else. Okay.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Okay, now.
Shall tribulation?
A believer will face tribulation.
Or distress.
Distress.
Or persecution.
Persecution.
Or famine.
Hunger.
Or nakedness.
Nakedness.
Or peril.
Peril.
Or sword.
Sword.
As it is written.
Oh.
For thy sake.
Whose sake?
God's sake.
Whose sake?
Christ's sake.
Christ's sake.
We are killed,
we
all,
are
the day
killed
long.
All the day long.
We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
We are more than conquerors. Read on. More than conquerors.
I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels.
I am persuaded, that is daring to be different. Boldness. I am persuaded that what?
That neither death nor
you
life.
You can't scare me with death.
Nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our
Don't
Lord.
Don't care what people will say. To dare to be different is to dare the effect of what people will think of you. Because of the stand you take, What will be people's perception about me in my office, in my compound, in my village, in my family? Because there must be an effect for your decision. How many will dare to face the consequence of the decision to follow Christ? When you are there thinking, how many now, how will people now be relating with me? How will they be relating with me? Because this decision to follow Jesus can, may God forbid, cost even my marriage. The decision you take can cause you to have delay in marriage or even have your marriage broken. The wife will leave you or you will leave the wife. The husband will leave the wife. It's true. It can cost your job. You can lose your job. There are people they sack from work because in this job you must wear trousers. But I'm a Christian, I cannot wear trouser. But the job says you must wear trouser so that you can attract customers. And you can stand before your boss knowing that he can sack you and say, please, sir, I prefer to be like this. It's against my faith. Whereas others, we say, we compromise for fear of losing their job. You will dare to be different. That is what I'm talking about. Friends will forsake you. Because light and darkness cannot go together anymore. And yet, you love this your friend so much. You are childhood friends. But here you are now. You are in a different level of thought, different level of mind, different level in everything. You can't cope. You can't cope. You are not the one that will run away from him. He is the one that will run away from you. Because light does not run away from darkness. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Stop saying, don't come near me. I'm now a Christian. No. That's a baby Christian. No, I beg. I don't want you to. Face them. When my friends try to do the nonsense we used to do before, they will come around you. They'll come around you. Alu, want to think, want to bring what we were before and talk all that nonsense. It's opportunity for me to let them know who I am. I'll say, you see they go club? For this your age, you see they go club? You know the thing say you go die one day, where you go? The discussion will change. Of course, I had girlfriends as unbeliever. Now, they are coming to visit me. And they come and say, I go look. I say, see, they know they come. Then immediately, I see you. They talk like that. I say, So you know, say, I don't give my life to Christ. I hope you too, you have given your life to Christ. You still there like that? Wallahi, if you continue that useless, how would they live before? Now, hell, you go. Me, I don't live here. Me, I don't go. Hello. You too be pastor. I didn't say I be pastor. I say, I no live that life again. I be Christian now. What stop you? People, they go to church now. Sin. I am now converted. You know, see me, they go club again. Open Bible. But by the time you start, you go say, I beg, I get an appointment, and they go. You won't say, go. You are devil, you are coming to tempt me. And a baby Christians, they talk that one. Face them. Will you follow me to church next Sunday? Follow me. Which church? Our church now. And me too, they go to church now. Which church should they go? Catholic. Sit down. Let's open the Bible. Let me show you something. Someone don't start. Praise the Lord. Friends will forsake you. People, close associates will forsake you. Helpers will forsake you. Will you still dare to be different? Because others, for this reason, they will compromise. Make I not come die. Now my destiny helper. Now God bring him for me. If it is God that brought him to you, he won't let take you away from God. I have seen women that married men, and the men tell them, I love you, that's why I'm married. If you like, go to church. I will not disturb your faith. And they are not disturbing their faith. It's true. Don't sit down and compare and say, Remy is a pastor in Redeem. He's not married to Muslim Tinubu. So me too. I will go and marry Alhaji Ahmed. Oh, Mariam. You know the reason you are going there is because of money. My papa don't suffer. My mama suffer. We don't suffer too much. Ah, God brought destiny helper. Make a no use church. Drive and come up from you. It's fear. Fear. It's fear that's making you compromise your faith like that. We must be like the Rechabite that stood their ground, daring even in a strange land to face the prophet of that land, Jeremiah. Whoever you are, oh, we will not drink that wine. You say, your God, you say, I should drink this wine. Me, oh, now your God tell you, say, make you come bring this wine to me to drink. Me, my own papa, now he tell me, say, we will not drink alcohol. We, for our family, we will not drink alcohol. How many Christians can face such situation? And there they can drive them away from the land of Israel where they came to Habanet. They can drive them away, but they dare the consequence and stood on what they believed. The Rechabites. It's true. They dared him. John the Baptist dared the Herod and Herodias. Didn't he know that if he challenged a king who had power over life and death, the way he did, in a public place, the man killed his brother Philip, killed him and collected his wife. The first lady, now they are having occasion. They are coming to the temple. They hear, say, there is one man from the wilderness where come, they preach, king, say, make himself come temple today, hear what in that man they talk. As they enter like this, John changed his sermon to marriage and divorce. It's not lawful for you to kill somebody and collect his wife. It's not lawful. The man said, which is this one talking anyhow like this? Look, I may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Didn't John the Baptist know that it can cost his life? He knew, and he did not cut off his head because of it. But he dared, whatever is the consequence, to stand with the truth. There are preachers today that will not preach certain things so that the people will not be offended, so that they will not lose members, so that the people that have money will not be offended and not bring money for the church. Okay, now. And what is the effect? They compromise the word. They will not tell the people the truth. The three Hebrew children, even Daniel, when Daniel challenged the king concerning prayer, said we must pray only in the name of a king, me, he dared them. This time, if he was praying secretly before, the Bible says he went upstairs, opened the window for everybody to see, and was praying there facing Jerusalem. I may be a slave now in the Babylonian kingdom. Amen. But I know who I am. I know why I am here. I know it is temporary. I know it is temporary. Very, very soon, this bondage will be over and I will go back to my land. I will stay through. Even if I will die, I will not eat, defile myself with the food from these idols in the king's house. Give me only beasts to be eaten. You can give the rest all the nourishment. give me this one only, I will stay with my God. I will not eat with anything that is defiled. He dared evil hunger. He dared the effect of it. He dared until they threw him. He knew that if he doesn't bow, lions are there to feed on him. He dared to be different. Is he the only one that was in captivity that time? Others bow now so that they will have life. But it's Daniel. That is why his own record is there for us to also learn. We must not compromise. We must not compromise. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, uncle, they look at the king in his face. Even if you throw us in that fire, we know our God will save us. But even if he doesn't save us, ha! He dared the consequence of not, you know, worshiping that image. He dared, they dared the three of them. And he made good his promise. They threw them there. That is why I preached that sermon entitled Bow and Burn. But listen to it. That's the truth. He said, if you bow, you will not burn in this fire, the pit of fire. But the truth is, if you bow to the system, there is a fire waiting for you. There is hellfire waiting for you. If you bow, you will burn. But if you don't bow, you will not burn. That is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow, and the fire did not kindle against them. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's true now. It's true. Apostle Paul told the council, he told them face to face, that we would rather obey God than to obey men. We don't care to answer you in this matter. Is it good that we obey men rather than God? No. David dared the Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Didn't he know that that man, that everybody is afraid, but he dared to be different. Everyone, including the king, was Saul, was afraid. But little David dared to be different. He knew his God. He faced him. He didn't say, what if I try this one? Now the thing no work. This man will just carry me like fowl, bend my neck, and throw away from him back. He dared the consequence. Hallelujah. All of us that are making commercializing the gospel, the European missionaries that brought the gospel to Africa, they dared the jungles of Africa. I was reading their history. They say when they are coming, they always give them one-way tickets because their journey going, they are not expected to come back. Because they know they are going to meet wild beasts. They know they are going to meet sassafras. They are going to meet mosquitoes. They are going to meet all manner of barbaric men, barbaric tribes who have their gods. Will they leave their gods to follow them? They dared the consequence and brought the gospel to us here. We here compromise. In this age, where did they establish churches? Only in the cities. Everyone God call is going to Lagos, going to Abuja. Nobody is going to the village. All headquarters are in the cities. They have not finished evangelizing Nigeria. All of them have branches in Europe, America, China, everywhere outside. They have in Kenya, have in South Africa, have everywhere. You know that it is not gospel they are preaching. You know. Everybody knows that one. Even the way they fight over it, you know. You know it is not the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The apostles, they dared the Sanhedrin council, the Pharisees and Sadducees. See the way they were chasing them like hunters chasing bush meat in the bush. Chasing them up and down. But for we are, they preach the gospel. If you chase them, they reach another town. Evangelism will continue. Fire will continue. And they died. They were killed. Many of them were killed. They knew they would die. They would not say, because they killed this person, therefore fear will come upon them. They continued in preaching the gospel. They were all ready to die. They dared them. Praise the Lord. But Esau compromised. For what? For food that he would eat. Today, the love of money is making many also to compromise. Love of money. The third temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, many pastors, many ministers, many ministries have fallen to it. If you will bow before me, I give you the whole world. I'll make you popular. I'll make you multi-billionaire. I'll make you bet. This is the condition. Befriend the world. Dress like the world. That's why you see some of them wearing baggy trousers. With body hug. Pastor. Pastor. And he's a celebrity. Oh, man of God. Hey, man of God. When you don't know God, how will you know a man of God? It's true. And that is why in John chapter 1 verse 6, hear what?
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light.
I'm sorry. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. From verse 6.
Be strong and of good courage.
Joshua is going to move the people to the promise. He had his commission. And this commission is for every one of us. Read on.
Be strong and of a good courage.
Because it will take courage. The things that you are going to face in this journey of faith, it will need you to be courageous. It will need you to be strong in the faith. Be strong and of a good courage.
For unto these people shall not divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Uh-huh. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand or to the left, uh-huh, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Uh-huh. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
Go to verse 9.
Have I not commanded thee?
Have I not commanded thee? It's a commandment. What?
Be strong.
And what?
And of a good courage.
Be what?
Be not afraid. Uh-huh. Neither be thou dismayed. Uh-huh. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Why will he emphasize one word that is most spoken by God to his people in the Bible is fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Because the devil will scare you. He will scare you. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, hear what Jesus Christ told his disciples.
Fear not, little flock.
Again.
Fear not, little flock.
Again.
Fear not, little flock.
We are always little. Many are called. Few are chosen. These few are the ones he's addressing. Fear not, little flock. What did he assure them?
For it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Fear not, no matter what you go through, there is a kingdom that has been prepared for you already. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is where the overcoming power is. It's in the knowledge of what is ahead. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. What did he say?
For whatsoever is born of God, uh-huh, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world.
What is it that makes us to be overcomers?
Even our faith.
Faith here is a revelation. There is a revelation you have. It's the same revelation that Jesus Christ had. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2.
Wherefore,
3 and 4.
Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Now listen.
Looking unto Jesus.
Who is he?
The author and finisher of our faith.
Listen very well.
Who for the joy that
for
was set.
For there was a joy that was set before him.
Endured the cross.
Endured the cross.
Despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of
he
God.
He despised the shame. He dared the consequence. There was a joy that was set before him. There is a joy. He knew after all this suffering, there is something awaiting me. Hallelujah. And that thing is not a small thing. It is eternal. It is forever. Amen. This thing that is scaring me here is temporary. Apostle Paul caught that revelation. That's why he said, what will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? He saw something. He saw it and he will mention it. Is it verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or chapter 2?
But as it is written, I has not seen.
I has not seen.
Nor yet heard.
Ear has not heard.
Neither have entered into the hearts of man. The things which God had prepared for them that love him.
But he says something.
But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit.
So he saw something. He saw something. The spirit of God revealed it. That what is ahead of us. I will not do anything here that will make me lose it. That's why without vision, the people perish. When you don't have a revelation of where you are going, of what you want to achieve, there are the people that have meaningless life. Which vision? I want to go to heaven. If you truly believe there is a heaven, it will reflect on the way you live your life. Some people don't even believe there is hell. Some people don't even believe that they will die. They can die anytime. It is reflected in the way you will live your life. That is why Abraham, he looked for a city. He was looking for a city. God gave him a vision of a city. The city is too beautiful. No man, no human being can make such a city, can create such a city. It is the city where the lamp is the light. It's the city where there cometh no night. Hallelujah. When we are free from all the toil and care. That is the city that John saw. He saw it. It's the same city. Tell them again. Tell them. Sing it now in the fear. Are you not going there? If you are not going there, don't sing. Don't sing it.
Holy and beautiful.
Where we are going.
I am a man.
again. In that bright city, in that bright city. City, we are hoping to go. Oh. That's what I'm watching out for. Sing that single stanza again. Sin is not allowed in that city. Nothing that defies better there.
No sickness can enter.
Oh, yes. That city also. He showed me. I can never forget that day. And this that God, the day he showed me that, I saw a cup that nobody else was seeing. And I was pointing to everybody and said, now they see this cup. It's coming, it's coming. And then it reached. There was a drum under. And I went and I collected the cup. I came out of that vision. And I told my wife, I can never forget. It was in December of 1990. We were in Hamdala Hotel with my wife in Kaduna. We went for a wedding. And then I meditated, but why that cup? After some time, the interpretation, the manifestation is the interpretation. Cup means suffering. What I will suffer before I will enter that city. And when I caught it, I knew there is wahala on the way coming. Yeah. Brethren, I have suffered. Cha. Everybody forsook me. So I understand better. Until I had a meeting with Satan. I said, you're wasting your time. All the frustration you are giving me. This decision I have made is a final. That's how I know you don't know. When you tire, you go leave me. Hallelujah. You must be definite. If you don't have a revelation of what you will achieve by doing what you are doing, you won't stay there and die there. That is the problem with the Christian faith. That is the problem with all of us. No vision, no revelation of the blessing that is awaiting us if we shall live truthfully to him. That is why little thing, they will stop going to church. Little thing. I asked a young girl, why did you stop coming to church on Friday? He says, because one particular sister was lying against me. Lying against you, that's why he didn't come to church. What do you concern your salvation with what another person is doing to you? I am more concerned with what Jesus Christ did for me than what any other human being is doing for me. Oh, glory be to God. As long as what you did to me cannot affect what Jesus has done for me, what you did to me can never hinder my relationship with my God. Can never. It's lack of revelation. That is the problem we have with the Christian faith. Just imagine Abraham. Is the father of faith. Can't you learn something from him? He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Look at it. Abraham was asked to go and sacrifice his only child. Child that he got, his wife was 90 years old. The only hope, the promise. The Bible tells us, he took the boy to go and sacrifice him. What gave him that audacity to do it? He said he knew that the God that gave him this child, when it was past the time of life, when it's impossible for somebody to bear a child, he gave him, that same God will bring another one if he takes this one. Revelation. 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 God trains us to have experience. Faith is the substance of things we hope for. But before you can hope for something, there is something that is making you have that hope. There is something he has done. There is a witness of a testimony in your life. I was sick before. I prayed. He took it away. I am sick now. He will do it again. Therefore, I am not afraid. When he speaks to me, it comes to pass. All that he has spoken has come to pass. But this one he has spoken, why is he delaying? I will wait on him because he is watching over his word to perform it. He did it before. He spoke, it came to pass. He has spoken again. It will come to pass. Therefore, I will not be discouraged. That is the problem many of us have in our Christian journey. You don't have anything that is the anchor. No experience that shows you the reality of God. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4, it is impossible.
For it is impossible for
it
those.
It is impossible. Impossible.
Who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gate and have made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
It is impossible. Everything you should know about God, you know. Then after that, see testimonies, see healing, see deliverance, see breakthrough, see answer to your prayers. After that, you go back again to the world. What else will God use to convince you of his existence? That is the problem we have. Enticed by the world, enticed by all that is going on, and impatience. Brethren, what shall it profit a man, a woman? You gain the whole world and you lose your soul. It's because you don't even believe that there's going to be a judgment. You don't believe in the life after this life. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you here listening to me around the world. Here, you walk. You don't achieve anything. Still poverty. Won't you sit down, just think like normal human being? As I don't achieve anything here. Since they say there's another opportunity after this life, won't I walk towards the other opportunity? It's common sense. These are people who reason. So I don't lose both here. Then after here again, I go and enter hellfire. There was a siege in Samaria. Until he reached a stage where they were eating each other's children to survive. Assyrians besieged them, caged them in hunger. No food. Then the mercy of God came down. But before the mercy of God came down, the mercy of God came down and the word of the Lord went forth. Don't worry. The diesel now that you are buying per liter, how much? 2,000 and 15 naira. 2,050 naira per liter. Every liter that is burning now, the generator is on. We are spending 2,050 naira. And every week we are spending, we buy 3,000 every week. 6 point something million every week. and the prophecy comfort. By this time tomorrow, diesel in Nigeria will cost 100 naira per liter. The word of the Lord went forth. And there will be scoffers who will say, where is the promise? Since 2,000 years now, they say he's coming soon, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. There will always be scoffers. The prophet that gave that man, big man out there, he's working in the presidency, and said, even if God will open window and call, how will it be possible tomorrow? And he turned and looked at him. You will see it, but you will not be partaker of it. Now, but that is not the story I am going. I am going to the attitude of those lepers. You know, lepers, they can't even come near town. People, when they normally they don't get food to eat, now lepers. Now, the camp of the Syrians, they are there with food and everything. They said, look, they had a meeting. Lepers had a meeting. Come, if we stay here, we will die. If we go to the camp of the Syrians, they will catch us and die. Hey, it's better, let's go there. Let's be that we go to look for food. They dared the consequence of going to the Assyrians. They dared the consequence of going to the Assyrians. He says, it's true, look, we go. Let's sing, coming home, coming home. And they were going. Unknown to them that after that prophecy the previous night, God sent a particular type of wind, a particular type of sound, a particular type, and gave some, you know, until the Assyrians say, hey, these Jews have gone to hire other nations to come against us. Let's leave. We cannot contain them. He's the mighty one in battle. El Shaddai
is a mighty God in battle. Jehovah Nissi is a mighty God in battle. El Shaddai,
oh yes,
is a mighty God in battle. Glory to His name.
That's who He is. My emphasis is not the miracle that took place, because we all know the story. When these lepers went there, they didn't see any of the Syrian army. See food, nyafu, nyafu. They dive, they begin to chop, begin to chop, begin to chop, chop, chop. Then it was one of them that said, wait, let's not be selfish now. We don't chop, we'll pack the one we'll go chop. Because we're not supposed to be with them now. We'll just pack them, we'll send message to tell them, say, food today, who? And we know the rest of the story. That man didn't eat. He went there from the stampede that took place that day. They mashed him until he died. He was sent to go and distribute the food and say, it's not possible to have. That's our God for you. Like the lepers, the nation of Israel is to be wiped away. In Persia, they were to be wiped away. The queen Esther was told, see what they have planned, or they will finish all of us, including you, all of us. Better go to the king. The law is that you, the wife of the king, you cannot come to see the king in his place unless the king sends for you. If you try that, they kill you. You're a suspect. She told everybody, fast. She dared that law. If I perish, I perish. If I die, let me die. If I perish, I perish. Esther chapter 4 verse 16 says so.
Go, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish,
if I perish,
I perish.
Let me perish. She dared that. The rest of the story, did she not save the Jews? Dare to be different. While all others were afraid, there is a woman that dared the consequence of the action she was going to do to save the Jews. In Acts chapter 21 also, Apostle Paul, by a prophet, was warned not to go to Jerusalem by prophet Agabus. Verse 10.
And as we tarried many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle,
hey,
and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
Hey.
And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem.
Paul, you will die, yo. They'll put you inside prison, you know, if you go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered. What do you mean by this?
What mean you to weep and to break my heart?
You people are crying and trying to break my heart.
For I am ready not to be bound only.
Not only prison.
But also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
And verse 14.
And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done.
They are giving you prophecy. His own is the preaching of the gospel is a necessity that is laid upon him. Don't scare me. And of course, when he went there, all the trouble he went through, but he preached the gospel and souls were won. Oh, glory be to God. And we can learn a little lesson there. That prophecy did not say, don't go. It was not thus said the Lord, don't go. It was a vision that was stating what will happen to him when he goes. Okay. That vision was not telling him not to go. It's to prepare his heart for what he will meet when he goes there. Oh, somebody is not understanding me. Therefore, what is that vision supposed to do? When you hear such, Satan will not magnify it. Will you go or you will not go? It was a test to see whether fear will make him not to do his ministry. It was a test of his faith. It's not every revelation you see that means it's instruction from God. It's to prepare your mind to you now to take a decision. Am I ready to even enter prison? And Apostle Paul answered, not only to enter prison, even to die, I am ready. I will preach the gospel. My people must be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, but thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. If he said don't go, if you go, you have disobeyed God. You are tempting God. But there was something that was pushing him. Hallelujah. A boldness that every one of us must have, that nothing scares us from doing the perfect will of God. And that is why in the accuser of the brethren, the identity of the brethren, Revelation chapter 12 verse 11, it said they fear,
overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of their testimony.
Uh-huh.
And they loved not their
they
lives.
They loved not their lives.
Unto the death.
Is that not what Jesus Christ said? They loved not their lives. They were ready to die. Die. If you notice verse 7 and verse 8, in Revelation chapter 21, those who will not go into the kingdom, number one, who are they?
The fearful.
No, verse 7 first.
Verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all
if
things.
If you overcome it, overcome what? Overcome what is scaring the Christians, scaring the believers to stand for God. If you are able to overcome it, what will happen?
Shall inherit all things,
uh-huh,
and I will be his God,
uh-huh,
and he shall be my son.
So don't say I'm a son of God. If you're a son of God, then be ready to be an overcomer. But what?
But the fearful.
The fearful, that is the one. And the unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You refuse to stand for God, he will not stand for you. You fear to stand for him, you too, he will fear to stand for you. Oh yes, that is the truth. Compromisers will never enter. Remember Lot's wife. She was going with her leg, not her heart. Because she was an unbeliever. She did not believe what her husband received, what that angel came to tell them that was dragging them out. She didn't believe. Because he said, don't look back. He that put his hand in the plow and looked back is not worthy of the kingdom. The decision we have made is completely irreversible. Else, you will joke with your salvation and you will cross the red line like Esau. He didn't know that he was joking with his birthright. Hunger overshadowed him. So today, we also say, remember Esau. I love the way that it was put in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and verse 17.
Lest there be any profane person, fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat.
So for one small morsel of meat, pepper soup.
Sold his birthright.
Sold his birthright. Verse 17.
For you know how that afterward,
when we all know the story.
When we have inherited the blessing, he was rejected.
He was rejected.
For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully.
With tears, it was too late. Brethren, the door of salvation will soon close. And it will be too late. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. We have an identity to put up on earth here. Let's dare to manifest that identity. We must be different from the unbelievers. Spiritual Christians must be different from carnal Christians. In James chapter 1, verse 27, he spoke about, let's read it, about pure religion.
Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Keep himself what?
Unspotted from the world.
Unspotted. Unspotted from the world. Separate yourself from the worldly way of life, the way of people, unbelievers live. We cannot live our lives like that. We cannot live our lives like that. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. Two things. If you continue in my word, and another one, if you have love one for another. This is the identity. We are people that fear God. We are people that are intentional in the way we live our lives because we are on a journey from earth to glory. We are pilgrims. And we must live our lives to reflect it. We must concentrate on things of the kingdom, on things that promote the gospel. We must display true love, true Christian love, not worldly type of love. When I see you, you don't have to use your mouth to tell me I love you. By the way you live your life around me, I should know you love me. Not because you need something from me. Not because I want something from you every day. I love you, I love you. As a minister, I must not only call people who have money to check on them. I must not be seeing vision only for people who have money. unsolicited phone calls. Your friend are only those who have money in the church. They are the only ones you go to their houses to pray for them. There is an all-seeing eye watching you. Watching you. Watching you. Every day minding cause you pursue. Watching you. Watching you. There's an all-seeing eye. Watching you. The spirit that he has given us, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. What did he say?
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Fear is a bondage. Fear is a bondage. You cannot do what you should do because you are afraid. Afraid of the consequence of your action. But what?
But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
The spirit we have is a spirit of boldness. Ye shall receive power, power, power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses. And that is one thing I love about the Christian faith. He's not expecting you to use your own strength to serve him. Even the boldness to dare what is happening comes from him. You see, he said, my yoke is easy, and that is the truth. Somebody said, Pastor, you just be preaching boldly, 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 boldly. No, there is a spirit that is pushing me to do what I'm doing. Because I will have to dare to do it. There are people that will not bring offering in this church because of the things I say and how I say them. But necessity is laid upon me. I have to say it. Don't mind the way I say it. Listen to what I'm saying, whether it is true or false or wrong. I may not be saying it the way you like it. Forgive me. But whatever I tell you, I'm telling you from the depth of my heart, out of love. What I owe you any day is to tell you the truth. If I will advise you, I will tell you the truth. I won't tell you what you want me to tell you. I will tell you what I think I should tell you. Some of us don't have too many friends because of it. But there's nothing I can do. It is the Spirit that is pushing me to say the things I say. And I want to say it again. Fear not. Tell everybody around you. Fear not. Be courageous. Tell your... Tell them, Joy, be of good courage.
Thank you.
What does it mean to trust in God? Trust that He's faithful. He will lead us. He will keep His promise. He will not fail you. What He promised He will do it. Trust in Him and fire on with your life. Live believing Him. God bless you. Can we stand up? Hallelujah.